Blog Talk Radio.
First night, all I think about is you. Don't stop, baby, you can walk too. Don't want, but I think about you. You know that I'm never gonna
edition of the Questionable Intelligence Report.
Well, up.
Starring me, Mike V, and you, this guy, Michael Chalella.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Michael Mickey Buns Chalella. All right, so. We actually have things to talk about. It was pre-planned, which is great. So let's get into those things because I know we have limited time here. So let's talk about what we didn't talk about last week, which was Andrew Tate,
yeah.
AKA, I guess he calls himself Top G or some shit. This dude is like, I guess we should set up what he is. So he's a popular YouTuber and influencer, quote unquote, and is part of what a lot of people refer to as the Manosphere, which tends to be like a group of kind of toxic male goofbags preaching seriously misogynistic things and just real like real stupid, like men are superior type shit. Just like very, very aggressive, dumb things to say, you know?
Right.
And, you know, it's very, it's very incel-y. Like it seems like the energy is very like 45 years old in the mom's basement type shit, right? Like big fat neck beard shit, like dudes who are just gross and they fall in love with any woman who gives them the slightest bit of attention and then, you know, want to destroy the world when it turns out that that woman doesn't return the affection type shit. Like that's the energy these guys are coming from, except that like this guy, Andrew Tate, I wouldn't say he's attractive. There's something about his face that's like really goofy, like seriously, seriously goofy. He's got a goofbag face, like a super goofbag face. But like he's built, he's in really good shape, you know. And
that's what I was going to bring up actually, because he basically. He was somewhat famous before the internet stuff because he had like a kickboxing career for like several years.
He's a champ. He was a champion kickboxer, actually.
Right. So that's kind of how he like came to fame originally. And then I guess that once his kickboxing career ended, he decided, okay, I'm just going to become like an internet person. Like, I know he's on, like,
exactly,
the British version of Big Brother and a bunch of shit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did, because the first thing he did after retiring from kickboxing was to start, like, his Hofstra University type shit. Like, he's got, like, a fake online, you know, man training type school, which he's been plugging for, like, the majority of his career outside of kickboxing. So he basically did decide, like, to transition into online stuff. And he also liked to run cam sites, I think was one of his things.
Mm-hmm.
Which did because he had the money for it. Like, you know, it's not just that he was a good kickboxer or whatever, but his dad had a lot of money. His dad's very wealthy.
Right.
And so he's always been like kind of a spoiled rich kid, even if he was a good kickboxer. Like, that's, you know, that's besides the point. But he decided to start doing things like running cam sites, and he would use a, this is all stuff that he said himself too. So like, this is not, I'm not just like pulling this out of rumor. Like, these are things that he's confirmed. He uses this method called the lover boy method, which is what human traffickers do. It's popular in like Eastern Europe and places like that, where, you know, you meet a guy and he's like exotic and rich and all this stuff, and he, you know, dates you, and you have like this, you know, crazy whirlwind romance, and then you find yourself doing cam shit in his mansion, in one of his rooms, you know, like that's how they lure women in. I think one of the things that happened is they had lured an American woman in, and after, I guess, she escaped it or whatever, she made a big stink about it. And I think that's what led to him getting arrested the first time. for human trafficking.
Yep.
What else do you know about him?
Not a whole lot, to be honest with you. That's what's funny is like when the stuff came out a couple weeks ago, or whatever it was. Like I had heard of him, but I don't remember like I know his Twitter account was recently reactivated, but like I don't even remember when he got banned. Like I don't even remember what he said that got banned, that got him banned.
Yeah. Well, that's just the thing.
Like,
I don't recall it
being newsworthy when he got banned. I guess that's a better way to say it.
He probably got banned. I mean, because a lot of the stuff he says is very misogynistic.
Yeah.
So it's literally probably just some misogynistic thing that he posted. Because he was always saying, I mean, it's that base, like, very simplistic attitude that women are by nature inferior to men. So that means if you operate under that assumption, women are designed to serve us. We must control them. So that's like a lot of his tweets are saying just dumb shit like that. Like, you know, it used to be called barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, right? That's how we used to qualify women being servile to us. You know, that's how it was classically done by misogynists in the 50s and shit. You know,
right.
like you said,
you're not even saying anything that he himself hasn't said. Like he has basically come out and said, "Yes, I'm a misogynist. Yes, I'm this." You know what I mean? Like. It's not like we're just talking shit about
him. I'm saying it's not fucking new either. Like his attitude and the misogyny isn't a new thing. Even the basic principles of it is something that women have been struggling against for far longer than this guy's ever existed.
Right.
But what we've kind of managed to do in the last 20 years or so has been to attempt to quiet that narrative and that kind of language that makes women, that belittles women. I think as a country, at least in America, we have made better steps towards that in the last 20 years. I believe that. However, once it dies, that once the language starts evolving to the point where we're not being so misogynistic, at least in our language, then you have somebody like this guy Andrew Tate, who says the exact same bullshit that people like Rush Limbaugh and you know all of those other like hardline Republican idiots from the 50s and shit, you know that don't want to give women the choice. It's the same shit. It's just. Now it's packaged in a guy with a hot body, right? In his Bugattis. He's got all these Bugattis that he drives, right?
Right.
So, like, he's just packaging it in a more modern way because he's more connected to the modern shit like the internet and stuff. But it's the same fucking message. And because we've had kind of a void of you know, less misogynistic shit in the general public. Here's this guy who comes along and starts saying it again, and all these little, his fucking fan base is like 14, 15-year-old kids. You know?
Yep.
He's preaching all of this toxic male bullshit to these dumb fucking kids.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it. He knows who his audience is. It's the same dumb shit, but because they haven't heard this stuff anywhere before, because they're fucking young and don't study history, you know, this guy is new and fresh to them.
Right.
So that's what he's been doing. He didn't come into my radar I mean, I keep an ear, like, I follow, like, YouTube drama and Twitter drama and shit like that. Like, I keep abreast of things that happen on those platforms. I kind of have my fingers in everything, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I like sports shit,
you
too.
Sure do.
I'm always looking for new information. I do. I'm into everything. I'm into absolutely everything. It doesn't matter. Cooking shit, whatever it is, I'll seek it out and at least pay attention to it. You know what I mean? There's obviously stuff you don't want to indulge yourself in on in YouTube, but there's a lot of ways around that. You know what I mean? Like I can not watch Fox News, still pay attention to what they're saying and doing, right?
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is a good thing for anybody. If you have a point of view, you want to hone that point of view, and the way to hone that point of view is not going to be from watching the same shit that's validating what you're saying over and over again. You need to watch the other shit, too. The stuff that's against what you're saying, so you can be fucking prepared for when you have to face that. You
right.
know what they're doing. You know, I feel that way about a lot of things. So even if it's not something I'm into, like I'm definitely paying attention to the things that are happening. And this guy Andrew Tate, I've said Andrew Tate so much that I can't not say it now. He's a fucking goober. I mean, like, I know why people pay attention to him. He talks big. He's got a tough guy pedigree. You know, he's got the award for being a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's everything to some of these people. A lot of these 15-year-old males who are feeling like, you know, whatever angst it is that they think they can get, it's probably because they're being rejected by women, you know? This is the root. He's appealing to people who are rejected by women, and that means that we need to start teaching these boys how to be rejected. We can't tell women, stop rejecting boys. We can't. That's all of these guys, all of these fucking clowns, they say the same shit. Basically, women should not say no.
Right.
They don't believe women should have the right. Yeah. Yeah. Go on.
Oh, I'm just saying it's a dangerous slope to get in that mentality of the women should not say no.
Yeah.
Because it leads to a whole shit ton of other problems.
That's what it comes down to is the control, you know. These guys
right.
are all preaching control. Even fucking Mel Gibson with it. All that shit that he was saying to his wife in The Voice. Did you ever hear those voicemails?
Yeah.
From Mel Gibson to his wife? Like, that shit was – that's, like, brutal shit, dude. Like, that's –
Yeah.
You know, that's, like, evil controlling – just like nasty ownership bullshit. It's so not the direction people should be moving in at all.
Right. But it's out there.
You know, and
it is out there.
And this guy helps facilitate that. I mean, his whole bag is that women are subservient to men and should be treated as such. And he's proven that he's a man of his word in the fact that he actually exploits women. You know,
right.
He said he does. He's telling us what he's doing, and I'm listening. And I'm like, okay, cool, that's what you are. Now let's get you in jail.
Well, unfortunately, you can't go to jail for just being a misogynist. You have to take it to another level, which, lo and behold, he has.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he, like I said, he he put up or shut up. You know, he's a man
right.
of his word in the fact that he's saying, I am a scumbag. This is how I scumbag things. Watch me scumbag these women. I'm a scumbag. And all these kids are like, oh, he's the greatest, whatever. And I'm like, no, you're right, bro. You are a scumbag. Like, that's cool. Now let's get you in jail. Like, you know, that's great. Like, fine. You say
right.
you're a scumbag. That's fine. Everything you say is awful. I'm taking you at your word. I agree. Now jail.
Yep. Pretty much.
You know, that's like, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm also a 45-year-old man who has actually slept with women.
Yes, you have.
So, I mean, that's maybe it just doesn't appeal to me because I've actually had sex, whereas the people, like, I don't, it just baffles me, bro.
No, I get it.
Why would... I just don't, like... But the thing is, he's not... It's not like he's super, super famous either. We're talking about him because he's just... His fame has been elevated because we do frequent social media, and the stories have come up. But I think, like, 99% of the outside world, if you were to walk up to somebody and be like, yo, you see that thing that happened with Andrew Tate? They'd be like, who?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, most of the internet drama shit, like, nobody, it doesn't track in the real world. You know, you go into work, nobody, maybe one person out of like 20 has heard what you're fucking talking about. But this stuff
yeah.
doesn't really, it doesn't really get to the outside world. You know, unless you live on the internet like I do, you're probably not going to find people in real life who are paying attention to this shit.
Probably not. Like I said, when I saw that he was reinstated, I didn't even realize he was gone in the first place, because how the hell would I know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but like in his particular case, I do think he's dangerous because I do think even as much as we rely on the internet every day, like we were 14, 15 when started, the internet
right.
started.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. So, and we, you know, we went years on just dial-up modems and shit. Like, we were there
yeah.
in the nascence of this great thing. But these kids that we're raising now, like the kids that are paying attention to this guy, like they start out with the internet being like very much everywhere in your face. Like
right.
they don't have that contrast from growing up with dial, you know, rotary dial phones in your house and then pagers. Yeah. Dude, we were alive for the transition from terrestrial phone lines to cellular
oh, yeah.
usage. Like,
yep.
You know, we were alive for all that. We started analog and evolved digitally with the technology. You know, that's
it's kind of crazy to think about.
That.
Like, yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about the difference between how people grow up now. But like, we would literally, you know, if we went out after school, we would just say, okay, we'll be home by 6 o'clock, Mom, and we just like leave and just go out,
yeah.
and there would be no way to contact us
nope.
while we were out for 2 or 3 hours. Like, it was just like
nope.
we just hung out and did whatever, and we didn't know what was going on in the world. You know, we would just go go for a walk or go play a game or go play a sport. Like, it was just, I don't know.
Or walk the Tower Records.
Exactly. And to think about it, it's so weird because, like, there's these kids in my building who I can't friggin' stand, but like, they're all like in that 12 or 13 year old range.
Yeah.
And they will sit outside, but like, they're outside listening to music on their phones or watching YouTube videos on
right.
their phones or doing whatever. And it's like, this
right.
is so different.
Yeah.
And like, it's like it wasn't that long ago when we were that age. I mean, yes, 30 years, but like the advancement from where we were technologically, technology-wise, you know, from 1983 or even 93 to 2023, it's like insane. Like it's exponentially different.
It is, and these kids now they're so savvy about it. Like because we've been introduced to them so early, like they're going to master this stuff quicker than I will, you know. And
oh,
I'm
definitely.
Up to date technology wise. Like I fucking love technology. I want all of the computers. I want all of the game systems. I want all of the phones, all of them, everything, all of it. You know, I fucking love technology, but I'm also 45 years old. And even though I've had all this shit my whole life, these kids are like, we've brought it. Our generation has gone from square one to like, you know, a million. Like we at this point, like we've gotten this technology to be crazy awesome, surpassing the shit that you see you used to see in like Dick Tracy comics with like the phone. He had like a TV on his wrist that he could talk to people with. That was like a revolutionary technology. We've had that technology for years. We've had it, and it's amazing, and it's fucking space age. But these kids are starting at space age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's nowhere for them to go but up. There is nowhere for them to go. Like kids are getting into like lots of computer programming shit, and it's because it's there and it's a part of us now. You know,
right.
My brother-in-law, my sister and my brother-in-law, their whole house is fucking Google Assistant. Like they got that shit hooked up to the lights, to fucking everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Bro, we used to watch black and white cartoons of that shit.
Yes. Yes, we did. And it's I was watching this documentary about this guy who memorized the prices of the prizes on Price is Right. And he ended up like helping a whole bunch of people like win the showcase. And then he finally got on and won money. And blah, blah, blah.
Awesome.
But like what he had to do back in like the 80s and 90s was like watch every episode when it was on, like if you weren't in front of the TV at 10, 11 o'clock, whatever time it came on, you couldn't watch it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's talking about that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's just it's so crazy to think of like, there was one story he was telling about how, I can't remember the circumstances, but he was looking up like who was like the producer of the show or something. I don't remember.
Right.
And you basically had to wait until the end of the show and watch the credits and catch who was the producer of the show. You know what I mean? There was no while it was on. Right. It's not like you could look it up. Like, I can look that up right now on my phone in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's just the kind of thing where
he couldn't record the show on his fucking VCR and play it back, you know?
Right.
This was live, and once it was done, it was done. There's no rewinding. There's no going back.
And, yeah, it's just crazy because now, you know, like I'm at my sister's house last week, and she's got two little kids, and my nephew was getting a little fussy, and so she's like, all right, I'm going to put this on for you. And she just went into, like, her Disney app and put on what he wanted to watch.
Yeah.
And it's just like when we were kids, we had to, like, wait a week to watch a specific show or a specific cartoon.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I want to watch Tom and Jerry. Okay, we'll wait until Saturday at 9 o'clock, and then you can watch it.
Dude, I can't tell you, like, how much my movie experiences are interactive now. One, because I just don't go to movie theaters anymore. It's like,
right.
I tried to go to movie theaters so many times, like during the pandemic, and they were always closed. That was like,
yeah.
That was one of the first things that really suffered bad during the pandemic. But I gave up on that experience almost. And I've just been very happy sitting home watching movies. If it's a scary movie, I watch it in the dark. You know, I have a really great television. You know, I have an Ultra HD TV. It's not small.
Yeah.
You know, I have a big screen television. It's not huge. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the thing is the size of my fucking dresser. You know, it's a big-ass TV, and it wasn't that expensive. I have
HD TV. So hold on, that reminds me of something else. So I'm watching this kind of goes along with the difference in technology too, because we've seen it get to the point where that stuff is relatively cheap now.
Right.
That was the other thing during this Price is Right documentary. They had a car that sold for $7,000 and change. Let's call it like $7,500.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And they had a big screen TV, which then was probably, I don't know, 30 inches, 35 inches.
Right.
And it cost $3,800.
Right.
So basically people were paying twice as much for a car as they were for a television. And
that's,
if you said that to anybody, if you said that to anybody now, they would think you're insane.
How much was it? You said 3,800?
Yeah.
That's
3,800.
This is
back in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even remember. Probably, I mean, what was considered a big
like 30,
screen at that time? 30 inches?
Said, right?
32 inches?
Yeah,
yeah, something like that.
And it was, so it wasn't a flat screen.
No, it's that big, bulky ass.
Oh, fuck, dude. That's,
monstrosity.
That's heavy as, that's huge, bro.
But just the fact that you were spending half as much for a TV as you did for a car.
I know, dude, and I could get the equivalent, you know, a flat screen of that size larger for like $400.
That's what I'm saying. How many TVs would you have to buy to make it equal the price of a car? At least 40, 50 probably.
Right. Yeah, that's, I
and
know.
You're paying
it's
half
crazy.
The price for a TV. And same thing with computers back in the day. Computers were like thousands of dollars early on. Which is why I didn't have a computer until I was like 18.
I really think like the way that we've been so invested in technology, I think is also like the pandemic has a lot to do with that, at least for the American ethos, because we just having to, you know, most of America was on lockdown for those 2 years. It was not because I was an essential worker. You know, I was technically construction, so I had to go to work. There was no lockdown for me. I didn't experience – all I experienced is not being able to do absolutely anything while I'm out in the world because everything was closed.
Yeah.
But I still had to be out there, you know.
Right.
And everybody else was sitting at home, and what were they doing during the pandemic? They were being on their phones.
They were on their computers.
Yep. And drinking. You know, that was another big thing. Seriously, like people drank so fucking much during the pandemic, man. Like so much. Liquor sales were through the fucking roof.
Mm-hmm.
That was wild. But that's the thing. We've had to rely on technology for 2 years, and that's long enough. That's very long enough to get seriously accustomed / addicted to it more than enough time.
Absolutely.
You know,
And we were headed in that direction before the pandemic. But
the pandemic definitely
absolutely sped up the process.
Absolutely. And I don't know. I honestly feel maybe in a few years or so, if we don't have any more serious shit like the pandemic to happen, maybe we'll ease up on the technology a little bit, or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll.
I was going to say, I think that horse has left the barn. I think.
Yeah. Well, you're being a pessimist.
Well.
You're being a penis mist, mister.
That's me.
I mean, you're probably right, though. Did you see that movie WALL-E, that Disney movie?
I did not.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, but part of the reason that it's good is because the future is depicted as basically what we are talking about right now, which is, like, humans are just, like, fat, blobby, like, junk food eating chairs that float around on, like, suspension chairs and are just, like, fed and bathed. They rely on technology for everything. And it's funny because that is always what I pictured to humans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's always seemed like the direction we're going in. Because, let's face it, we use technology to make things easier on ourselves. Like, we have an example of that in our hands every day. The fucking TV remote. Anytime you pick that up, that's one of the best and worst pieces of technology that we've ever
seen. Yeah.
You know, it's great because we can sit halfway across the room and control the TV from our little device. On the other hand, it means that we don't have to get up ever.
True. You really don't.
No.
And not only that, and to take that a step further, some people don't even have the remote because, like you said, with your sister having like the Google set up, like there are people that can just say, you know, Alexa, turn on the TV. Like they don't even have to find the remote.
Yeah. Alexa, open up Netflix. Alexa, open up Hulu. Alexa, play, I can't even remember the name of that stupid show. Have you seen this show? Elizabeth Moss is in it. It's the show about, like, the world is, like, flipped upside down and women are, like, servants and they have to give birth to babies and shit.
Oh, the Handmaid's Tales or whatever it's called?
Handmaid's Tales. Yeah.
I have not, but my wife watches that.
I would not. That is not surprising that she watches that. You see none of it.
I have not.
Yeah. It's strange. I don't know. Like, it's predicated around the idea that, I mean, it's basically a marriage of government and religion. So it's basically America gets converted to theocracy. And then they have this weird ritual where women become servants of a household. And I guess if a woman can't conceive, I don't even know what the thing's about anymore. I just remember it being like extremely torturous towards women.
And
I know that it means a lot to women to see that, I guess, portrayed, but it's hard for me to watch. I don't like watching it. I feel like I've seen enough people being violent to women in my actual life. I feel like I've seen. I feel like I've I've known too many women that's happened to, and I've seen it too many times, that like fictionalized versions where that is taking place, I feel like I don't need to see that. You know?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, call me a pussy or whatever, but I don't, it doesn't appeal to me to watch that. I would watch a true story other than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
You know, if that happened to somebody in real life and somebody made a dramatization of it, I'd probably watch that. But like the made up, this made up society that tortures women, it's like, you know, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, same here.
But this, Ange, I don't even know how we got to where we are, but we were talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about how misogynistic Andrew Tate is.
Yeah, and then how do we get onto like movies and your sister's house and.
I don't remember. I know we were just talking about technology in general, but I'm not sure how we got off the Tate track.
Technology, yeah. Yeah, it comes back to because these 14, 15-year-old kids, like their parents are obviously not monitoring what they're watching because they're watching this guy. For whatever else he is, I would say he's definitely an adult entertainer. He speaks of adult things, and although he sounds like a fucking child when he does it,
yeah.
But like these, you know, kids have this marriage to technology that we just didn't have at the very beginning of our lives. Like I said, I think it's awesome that we were able to go through our formative years while technology, especially internet technology, was going through its formal years. No, like I feel like we and the internet really did grow up together. You know, like we were absolutely hand in hand with the internet growing up. No, I remember. Did you do any of that Prodigy shit with Jeremiah?
No, but I remember him doing it. But I think
yeah,
I didn't have
it did
in my
too.
House until I was like 18. So by that point, that was kind of over and done. Like I think that was more, that had to be more like around 90-91, right? The Prodigy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was like 14 or 15. So.
Okay.
About 91. Yeah, about 91. It looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Jeremiah were doing the Prodigy shit. There were other ones like. CompuServe and then AOL eventually popped on.
Yep.
Prodigy, yeah. But me and Jeremiah used to go on the Prodigy message boards and shit. And that was dial up. That was back when dial up was a thing.
Right. But even then, so when you guys were first doing that, like it was so weird to think that you could communicate with other people, basically. Like, it was such a foreign concept to be like, oh my God, I'm talking to a girl in Idaho. How's that even possible?
I know.
And like, is that now
it's crazy,
like,
too,
you could
like,
you
I,
talk
I was
to anybody.
Talking to a girl. I was talking to a girl in Michigan. I ended up actually going to meet, which was a fucking disaster, bro. Holy
oh my God! I vaguely remember this.
Yeah, I was
happened.
Talking to her. We were like, I think we were like, I think I was like, maybe like 16, 17. Because I went out there. Maybe I was even like 19. Damn,
that's
most of the men I've been talking to
really
for years, by the way. Yeah, but I went out. Oh, that was so awkward. We could have a whole show about how fucking awkward that was. Dude, it was one of the worst experiences of my entire life. it taught me a lot of lessons. A lot of lessons.
Yep.
Holy shit. Yeah. But so we would do that. And then, you know, then AOL came along. And that was the first time where things really got, like, you could, like, instantly communicate with people. Like, Prodigy was a message. So if you posted something there, you'd have to wait for somebody to say something. And there were no, like, text alerts telling you someone replied. You know what I mean?
Right.
Nothing like that. Like, you had to keep logged on and checking little thing.
Yeah, you couldn't see to make sure they read it.
Exactly. Yeah, nothing like that. So you just had to hope they saw it at some point and you know, logged on and replied or whatever. So, you know,
yeah,
that was crazy. Even that was like a crazy thing to happen because, okay, I'm sending you what's basically the equivalent of a letter, and I don't have to wait for the postman to deliver it to you. It's just sitting in a place where you can look at it whenever you feel like it, whenever you're able. You know, and that was crazy in and of itself. And then you get fucking AOL, and you can chat instantly with people, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Instant replies, chat. That was wild.
Yeah, definitely.
The anonymity of those chat rooms was crazy. It was like AOL online was seriously like a free for all. There was so much shit on there. Everything you can imagine was on there. People were sending each other just the worst things in the universe. The worst.
Yeah, God, that's crazy to think about now. And like I said, like I didn't get on it super early because I didn't have a computer until I was like 18. But
yeah,
but like once you went on, like it was just crazy because, you know, they'd have like hundreds of topics and you could basically just like rant about whatever you want. And like you said, the anonymity of it, like compared to Facebook or even Twitter to some extent. But like, yeah, I mean, Jesus, that was like, it really was like a free-for-all. It was like the Wild West.
Yeah, it was. It was. And there, you know, there's something to be said about that type of shit. Like, because good things and bad things come out of that. And it may seem like more bad things come out of it than good, which is why they shut shit down. But, like, for example, 4chan, I don't know how much you know about the site 4chan, but it used to be just the same kind of place. I like to call them wretched hives of scum and villainy, because that's what they are.
Right.
And it's a Star Wars reference, so I get points from Star Wars nerds when I say that. And it's true, because a lot of these places, like 4chan specifically, will have, like, they used to have, like, the people, like, dead people, like, people chopped up, child pornography, and just, like, all of the worst you can find on the internet. But it also had some of the funniest shit you can find on the internet. Like people doing like insane stuff, like this. Those people are so fucking bored that they would play games with the numbers on the anonymous posts, because if you post something on there, your name is anonymous and it literally says anonymous on it.
But
you're assigned a number for each post. And they'll, like, do stuff based on, like, if they roll, like, a three of the same number, for example. Like, if the end of their number ends with, like, three nines, and they bet, they say, okay, I'll chop my foreskin off and,
oh, God.
If I get triple nine. No, really. Like, it's like crazy shit.
That is
or I'll call my mom and tell her I want to have sex with her. Like, really, like, just ridiculously crazy funny shit. But like, if I,
right.
They'll say, like, if I roll trips, I'll call my mom and tell her I want to fuck her. And then, like, people have to try to comment to get that number, to get that triple number.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. I like chaos. I'm a big fan of chaos. I find chaos to be funny. I really do. But there's the limit, you know, and the bad outweighs the good. And that's the kind of place where you find people that will that absolutely love Andrew Tate. It's these weird, sad people. Like, anybody above the age of 20, no, I'll give them, anybody above the age of like 23 who has anything to do with Andrew Tate is just a person that is a lost cause. That is a lost cause of a person.
Yeah.
Because that dude preaches nothing but pure malevolent misogyny. And I think at this point, we should be over that.
You would think. But it does not appear we are there yet. I don't know. I mean, you know, you said it before that I'm a pessimist. I just have no faith in humanity. But I don't know the reason why we're not there yet. But I just don't think. I mean, I think it's like slowly but surely we're evolving as a whole. But it's taking way longer than it probably should on multiple levels when it comes to women or minorities or, you know,
I feel like every time we take a step forward, we take like 20 steps back.
Yeah, it seems that way for sure.
Well, think about it. Like, we had 8 years of fairly prosperous times under Obama. I can't say that I had the best time in the world, but we also weren't hated by the rest of the world. You know, like, it felt like there were things that were actually going to be listened to by the government when Obama was president. You know, I mean, he did make some historic decisions and statements about the LGBTQ community. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that Obama did that was very progressive, especially in regards to the establishmentarian Democrats who are just stuffy old assholes and don't like change. You know,
right.
to have one of them come out and say, you know, LGBTQ is okay and they're people and we need to treat them as such, that's fucking historic, you know? He was the first black president. I mean, the man made history. He was a great spokesperson for this country. Very, very eloquent person. Very diplomatic human being. Very, very good as a representative for this country. And then the response to that, because I guess honkies felt oppressed during that 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, it baffles me. But they felt oppressed for 8 years, so they respond by electing the most nakedly racist, full of shit motherfucker that I know of, that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. But I don't know, like, what – I don't know. Like, I don't even know the right way to put this. But I'm trying to think of what was so bad about the Obama years that – Trump ended up being
for
the solution
Republicans.
For. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Right.
What happened?
Like, what was so bad during those 8 years? Because to me, it's not a Republican Democrat thing. Because I don't look at Trump as a Republican so much as I look at him as just a power monger. But like to me, he's just devoid of beliefs. Period. Other than money and fame and power. Like, I don't think he has, you know, Republican principles for whatever that's worth. So like if a Republican had come in after Obama, but it was like a quote unquote normal Republican, like I could understand that to some extent, but the fact that they went to Trump after Obama, to me, like, listen, I can't sit here and say that every person who voted for Trump is racist, but there has to be some element in racism for that to be the follow-up to Obama. Because I don't think anything – like, I don't think Obama's years were the greatest, but I also don't think they were so horrific that we needed such a desperate change of leadership to someone like Trump. I don't know.
They weren't. They absolutely weren't. I don't think anyone suffered under – I'll tell you what, though. The big complaint that I heard – I remember some shit about it. The big complaint that I heard was the Affordable Care Act penalizing companies for not having insurance.
Right.
That was the biggest thing that I remember from them. You know, everything else was always like petty and nonsensical. And it was so funny because Barack Obama, for all intents and purposes, is scandal proof. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that may not be something that I could say for the rest of my life, because who knows what's going to come out in later years or whatever. You know, you never know what happens,
right.
Whatever, you know. I'm not saying the man is perfect or a god
anything
perfect. Like that.
Right. Yep.
It's nobody fucking perfect. But while he was president, nobody found anything on him. And it's not for lack of trying, because you know 1,000,000,000 fucking percent that the only way Republicans can ever discredit somebody is either by making shit up or finding some dirt on them. And they love finding dirt. You know, so there's no – you couldn't convince me, even with a gun to my head, that Republicans weren't looking for fucking shit on Obama. Because the best they could come up with was the birth certificate, which was garbage. You know, being Muslim, which is false. All of the dumb shit they could come up with to throw at him, it was all false and wrong, and
right.
They slid off him. You know, I respect that dude. He really he knows it. He knew how to play the game. You know, the guy's a sharp motherfucker. Obama is a sharp guy.
Well, what's the thing about it, too, is like they come up with, like, you know, the birther stuff and the birth certificate stuff and this and that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's basically disproven. But then I'm pretty sure we talked about this last time, but then it's like Trump's running for office and all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, he hasn't divested from his companies and he hasn't done this and he hasn't released taxes. And it's just somehow okay. Like, if there's no...
I know.
Like, could you imagine, like, if Obama really wasn't born here, they would have had him out of the White House in 48 hours.
Right.
So I just don't understand how Trump always just kind of gets away with everything and there's no repercussions for it. It's insane.
You want to know what the truth is behind that, or what at least one of the base truths is behind that?
Go ahead.
I don't think anybody fucking knows who is supposed to go after him to prosecute him for that shit. I really believe that people in Washington don't know what the fuck they're doing. I believe that.
Right.
I believe that. And if at this point, like, I haven't had any trust that the Democrats are able to stand up to Republicans for the last few years, at least, if not more. I don't have faith in them as a group to stand up to the Republicans. I don't. And they've never given me a reason to deviate from that thought pattern. And every second that goes by that Trump is not in jail is another second that I feel like the Democrats have failed. And it's always those two impeachment attempts. Everybody knew that wasn't going to work. You couldn't, you can't impeach a president of a certain party when his party controls the fucking Senate. It's not going to happen. It can't happen.
Speaking of control of the Senate, do we have time to even talk about what's going on with these Republicans now, or is that? I mean, it's the one thing that Republicans have seemingly always been good at, to me, at least in the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now they're not even doing that.
You're right, but how much of that do you think is strategy?
I don't know. Whatever you mean from the standpoint that they're trying to get McCarthy to, like, lean into more radical stuff?
Also maybe, you know what, I don't know if I want to say this because they're constantly surprising me with how low they'll stoop. But
yeah, it's true.
I wonder if maybe this whole, like, superficial disagreement within the party, I wonder if it's all just fucking bullshit and it's just distractionary shit or something else.
It might be. I wouldn't put that past them.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, but just I can't also grasp that. I got a dichotomy going on in my head right now because I have one hand, you have just the awful, evil, nasty tactics of Republicans, which has always existed, but was ratcheted up to 1,000% by Karl Rove and Cheney and those guys. Like those guys are fucking master asshole strategists. They absolutely are the most clever, wickedest fucking demons that Satan's got going on. Those guys are top-notch, awful people, just like plumbing the depths of humanity and saying, yes, go do that to your fellow human. It will get us votes.
Yeah.
Just awful creatures. So, but those guys are fucking masterminds. And so it doesn't – they literally sent citizens to harass vote counters. I don't know if you remember any of that about the recounts in Florida and shit. You remember all the drama about that crap when Gore ran against Bush?
Right. Yeah, I remember vaguely back in 2000.
Basically what happened is they started sending – the Republican Party started hiring people and sending them as an angry mob to harass the vote counters. They were literally trying to influence the vote, and they did because the fucking – these little places that count the votes, we're talking about like some little town in Florida. They don't have security buildings. Or if they do, it's like one really old motherfucker, you know? So they sent these groups of hired thugs to protest with signs harass the vote counters to make them try to give up and stop counting the vote.
Right.
I got distracted. There's fucking ghetto idiots shouting at each other on the street in my neighborhood.
Nice.
Yeah. Totally nice. What the fuck was I saying? Oh yeah. So on one hand, you got that brilliant Karl Rove shit come from the Republican Party classically, but now, like, you have these incredibly dumb motherfuckers like Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Crapface, whatever the fuck her name is.
Right.
These people are abominably stupid, dude.
I know, and it's wild that, like, those are the people that seem to be, like, the ones that are always, like, front and center out in front of the cameras and the mics, because they really just sound
the loudest voices are usually the dumbest, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I do think that, well, at least I guess not, but I thought that, you know, with the Republicans being pretty united in general, they were also better, I mean, I guess they're not, but I thought they were better at kind of getting their message out there. But maybe if they're letting these people talk, maybe that is their message and they're just applying to, like, the lowest common denominator of people.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. Like, any rift in the Republican Party, I'm wary of, because I remember when the Tea Party was a thing, and that, you know, the Republicans were being split in half by the Tea Party, except that wasn't true because they still all voted together. They still all voted
right.
for the same shit, you know, and basically the Tea Party became the Republican Party, you know, evangelical Christian bullshit. That has been a staple of the Republican Party for the last 10, 15 years, maybe more, 20.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So these people, like, I follow Lauren Boebert on Twitter. I follow her. She keeps popping up. You know what it is? I don't follow her. I followed Don Jr., and that is how I encounter these people. Because that boy Donald Trump Jr., man, it's sad. He's sad, bro. It's so fucking sad to me. And his behavior makes so much more sense after seeing that Barbara Walters interview. Did we talk about that last week?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, crying out,
like,
for daddy.
Basically, she said to Trump, like, you haven't talked to your 12-year-old son in months. And he's like, yeah, whatever. All right, bro. Yeah, but then you look at Junior's behavior and you're like, He still wants daddy's approval. He still wants his
right.
daddy's approval. And he's not getting it.
No. I mean, he might be getting it now,
Trump,
but he definitely didn't get it for a while.
I don't know, man. If you watch his loony rants on Twitter, I don't think he's getting it. I don't think he's
might
getting
be right.
it. That boy is coked to the gills, dude.
Yes, he is.
That dude is I almost feel bad for him. He's just such a goober.
Yes,
so
he is.
Do you have time to talk about DeMar Hamlin?
Yeah, I got a little bit.
Tell me what's – I know what happened, but I want you to tell me what happened, and then we could talk about the response. And tell me about the response.
Okay.
To what happened to him.
DeMar Hamlin is a player on the Buffalo Bills, and they were playing on Monday night. And I should preface this by saying I was not physically watching the game, which is rare because I usually do watch Monday Night Football, but this week I did not watch. So, but what happened was he went to go make a tackle, and he makes the tackle. Like, if you watch the video, he makes
the
tackle.
He did make the tackle, yep.
And then he and the other guy, the guy he tackled, stand up. And he stands up for about half a second, and then he just collapses, like, right on his back, like, you know, just dropped like a tree.
Yeah, I saw that, yep. He really just toppled over, like, just like,
right.
He stopped and collapsed.
Right. And... so immediately, like, you know, the paramedics came out and the doctors came out and, you know, as we know now, like, they ended up giving him CPR for like 9 minutes because, you know, he wasn't breathing and it was basically like a traumatic event for everybody because, you know, you have the people on the field, the people in the stands and the people watching this like live on TV, which eventually they cut away from the, you know, the efforts to revive him, but
right.
You know, it was a scary fucking thing. Like nobody, I think one player died on the field in like the 60s or 70s, but
yeah,
you know, certainly like in our lifetimes of watching sports, like I don't remember ever seeing anything like this. And there have been a couple of similar incidents, but regardless, so basically he collapsed. They performed CPR and brought him out of the stadium to a hospital. And I mean, there's a couple of things that I think are interesting. So like at the time, like we know football is a violent sport. People get hurt all the time.
Yeah.
So one of the things that was kind of newsworthy about this because of how just kind of robotic the NFL is. So like while they're,
yeah,
you know, loading him up in the ambulance and taking him out of the stadium, you know, the ref turns to like the players and coaches and he's basically like, all right, you guys got 5 minutes to warm up and then get back on the field. And the players are like distraught. Like there are players crying and everybody's like, you know, huddled in a prayer and on both teams, you know, and, you know, the ref basically comes up and is like, all right, you guys got 5 minutes to warm up and get ready. And the players are just like, no, like,
yeah,
there are injuries all the time, but this is not a normal injury. It's not even as bad as like a concussion or a broken leg. Like this is on another level of like issue because at that point we really didn't know, like he might be dead.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the NFL just saying, okay, you guys got 5 minutes. Like, the players are like, "Not, this is not happening." So.
Yeah. We're going to need.
They ended up.
We're going to need a little more time to process.
Right. So they ended up delaying the game for probably an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And then, you know, the referees met with the coaches and the league was calling the coaches and this and that. And they basically decided, okay, we're just not going to play the rest of the game. And so I think that first part about the NFL initially saying like, oh, you guys got 5 minutes kind of just speaks to the attitude of, you know, the show must go on. And it kind of,
yeah,
gave me vibes of the night Owen Hart died.
Yeah.
Cause again, at this point we have no idea if this guy's going to live or die. And so I think it was good that they ended up not replaying the game and kind of like, you know, went along with what the players and coaches had wanted given the circumstances. So, you know, everything on Twitter that night, at least from my perspective, you might have seen different, but everything on my Twitter from like 9 o'clock Monday night to, I don't even think I went to sleep until probably like 11 or 12. Cause like I was like, And I barely heard of this player. Like, this is not a star player. That I'm not saying that's diminishing. But, like, it's a human story at that point. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I'm rooting for this team or I'm rooting for this fantasy player. Like,
yeah.
So from what I saw Monday night was, like, literally everybody, you know, prayers for DeMar, hoping for the best for DeMar, let's hope he makes through this, blah, 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 blah. And then I didn't see this sentiment until Tuesday morning. So again, maybe you have a different point of view, but all of a sudden Tuesday morning, it was, well, why did this happen? And instead of just like taking it face value of like, hey, this guy got a helmet in his chest and caused some sort of issue, it immediately went to, this has to be vaccine related.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, here we go. Because it would be one thing if it was, like, listen, I'm not going to pretend I know the NFL's policy on, like, steroids. But, I mean, they say players don't use steroids. Who the hell knows? I'm sure they're using something because they're all fucking, they're all strong as bulls and can run like cheetahs. So, like, there's a chance they're using some performance-enhancing drugs in all sports, which we've had that discussion, like more power to them as far as I could tell. But I didn't see anybody say, oh, well, maybe he took too many steroids, you know, because steroids enlarge the heart and, you know, things that have actually been medically proven. Like it was none of that.
It was all,
this must be because he was vaccinated.
I know.
And it's like, all right, first of all, like, can you not give a fuck for me? Can you just hope the guy's okay and just let that be the prevailing thought until we at least know whether he's okay or not? Like, for all we know, he could still be dead in 12 hours.
Yeah.
And it's just, it must be because of the vaccine.
I mean, he was touch and go for a minute. Like
this morning was the first time they like took out the breathing tube and he was actually talking and shit like that.
He was talking, he was interacting with his family. I mean, that doesn't mean that he's great. I mean, it's a great sign.
No, he's definitely not out of the woods, right?
Mm-hmm. But he's not out of the woods. But that's just the thing. Like, you can't. Man, it's so tragic to me that people will take any excuse to push their narrative. And it's mostly reserved to a certain group of people. I'm sure you'll find leftists doing that. But the overwhelming majority of people co-opting events to drop a narrative like that are usually fucking right-wingers. And that's just facts.
Yep.
That's just facts. And for somebody to I'm not a huge sports guy. I like to just like keep my eye on what's going on in the sports worlds, you know, baseball, football, and basketball, you know. I mean, I like bits of everything. I watch like basketball clips, football clips, baseball clips, you know, MMA clips is my favorite, boxing clips. I watch everything. It's all fascinating to me, you know. And that's a big turnaround from how I was even on this show, like 10 fucking years ago. I think there were like a couple of episodes where I was just like, "Sports is the worst. Fuck sports. I hate sports. They suck. Sports,
right?
Shit." You know, famously. But that's not true. You know, it's not true. Like I said, at heart, I would love for everybody in sports to just take whatever drugs they want to take and then try to do what the job is. I would love to see – I want to see dudes flying across an arena. I want to see a guy that can like 8 feet in the air. I want to see all of that. I want to see two dudes bite each other's faces off. All of that is great. You know, I mean, that's so awesome. Like I said, I like chaos, dude. Like it's all, you know, sports are great, but like, I feel like they could be even better if we just, you know, add a little bit of chaos into the mix.
I feel you.
And it's, I mean, honestly, it's not like it's not chaotic already, but the reason it's chaotic is because everybody is doing all of these drugs in sports, and the government is always trying to say, like, you're not allowed to do that. And my question is, why do sports need to be regulated by the government other than to, like, just make sure people don't die? But, I mean, to be fair, I kind of want people to die, too, so. I wouldn't be a good. I mean, dude, how awesome would it be for you to like die in like real battle on a sports field?
Well,
just like
I don't know.
You just made like a 100-yard fucking touchdown with an
bomb
in your hand.
I'm gonna disagree with you on that, just because I was pretty upset Monday night, and I didn't even see it happen live, so
yeah.
I don't necessarily want to see
just...
that. I know. But yeah, but this immediate, like...
Really let people use whatever enhancements they want to use. That's...
Right.
It's going to be on them, you know? It's going to be on them.
But yeah, just this immediate, like, oh, it must be the vaccine. Like, can you just, like, shut up for like a day and make sure the guy like lives through the night?
It's tacky, and I mean, it's besides the fact, like it's why are you speculating right now? Why?
Right.
Why would you do that? I mean, and it's not like it's over something so fucking dumb, man. It's so dumb. The anti-vax shit is literally dumb shit. It's dumb people. It's people being dumb and paranoid.
I don't get it.
It's so silly. It's so fucking silly. That's so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, to take something, it literally just happened to the guy. That's one of the reasons that I do hate how everyone has access to news right away. And it's also, I mean, let's face it, you're saying that Twitter was where you got the majority of those awful comments, right? Like you saw it mostly on Twitter?
Yeah.
I know, that's the thing, like... That's like one of the things about social media, one of the reasons that I do kind of hate it, even though I love it, is that stuff like that, it's so disheartening to me. It makes me feel like people just have no heart at all. The people that we're dealing with, these people that we're talking to, that we have to interact with because they're fucking everywhere, that they just have... We're never going to be able to appeal to them because they just don't have the heart to look at anyone else's perspective.
Right. Well, either that or there's just this need to, like, have, like, a ha-ha, gotcha moment. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it must be because of the vaccine. Like I don't know what...
Yeah,
like
you think that there's like a maliciousness to it?
I think so, because honestly, it wasn't like I don't think it was being brought up or asked about in like an inquisitive manner. It was more like accusatory.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like the stuff I was reading wasn't like, hey, is there any possibility that this could be vaccine related? It was all like,
no, but it's
the jab.
That way. It's never that.
Right.
It's never that. That
just felt very like accusatory.
That's what I'm saying. That's to my point. Like, there's just no heart there. There's no,
right. There's
no care that what you say could hurt people. And look, you and I both know, especially me, that you are capable of saying things to hurt people. We know we can hurt people
mm-hmm.
with our words.
Right.
We have hurt people with our words, I'm sure. I know I have.
Yeah,
many
I have
times.
Yep.
You know, but we're cognizant of that. And we can look back on those things and say, I'm not going to act that way anymore because I know better now. You know, my response
right.
was because I was childish or whatever. I didn't have
mm-hmm.
to react. And you can look back and you can say for the future. And for the most part, for me, it works. I try not
yeah.
to do those same behaviors that I used to do.
Right.
But these people won't do that, and they can't see how their words are just mean to everyone. Like there
mm-hmm.
are so many different classes of people that they hurt by saying that one thing. You know, there's the NFL players, there's the man himself when he fucking wakes up, there's his family. There's people like you and me who are empathetic, and we see that, and I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You hurt so many people when you say things like that. I don't think that's necessary.
And just as I'm saying, there's no reason for it. Like, if you want to have that conversation, you want to have that conversation a week from now, once they, you know, hopefully he improves and they start running tests, then that's a different conversation, but for
no, I
you know,
think that's
for,
tacky as fuck.
No.
But, you know, I guess it's not. It's
no,
still tacky as fuck. Whenever
I don't think it's important. Right. I don't think it's important.
If you
wait a week until the dust
kind of settles,
then you can at least have like a rational conversation about what caused it.
The man could die. 6 hours later after you make that fucking tweet, the man could be fucking dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what do you get out of that? What do you fucking get out of that? You were the first idiot to say this?
Right.
You're the first idiot to speculate in such a ridiculous fucking manner? Oh, it makes me sick to my stomach when people just straight up that they don't trust hundreds of years of science, hundreds of years of science.
Well, that reminds me. There was a Netflix thing called Pandemic, which actually came out right after the pandemic.
I don't remember. I don't think I did, no.
Okay. Well, it was kind of ironic because it wasn't about COVID-19 specifically. Like, it actually came out right around the time COVID did, so it didn't, like, incorporate that.
Right.
But it was basically, like, showing how scientists, like, prepare for and predict. Sorry, I didn't realize I had my phone on speaker. So it was a lot of, you know, how they basically have, they're working on vaccines and things of that nature constantly because they're watching the viruses that come up, and then they kind of predict, like, what the next virus is going to look like, and you try to, like, tailor their vaccines and medication towards that. And it's a 24/7, 365 job, basically, for all intents and purposes. And so when COVID-19 actually hit, you know, and the vaccine came out, whatever it was, like a couple months later, and you had all these people who would say things like, well, I can't trust a vaccine that came out so quickly, and there's got to be something wrong if this vaccine came out so quickly. And it's like, they didn't just stumble upon the vaccine in, like, the summer of 2020. You know what I mean? Like, this is shit that, like, scientists all around the world are working on all the time. And I just don't
know and it's,
why that message isn't out there more prevalently, I guess, that people are just allowed to think that, like, the government was just sitting on its ass until, like, June or July and then decided to come up with a vaccine.
Well, that's like that feeds into so many other shit. For example, the demonization of fucking Anthony Fauci is criminal.
Oh my God.
In my opinion. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Absolutely fucking this man has done nothing wrong. Zero. Literal zero things wrong. Nothing.
Dude,
he has
what would be his incentive in his, like, late 70s, at the twilight of his career, what would be his incentive to poison millions of people after he's had, like, a 50-year career and was, you know, basically thought by everybody as, like, a pioneer in his field and one of the leaders in the industry and this and that? What would be his motivation to then turn around and say, okay, I'm just going to poison millions of people on my way out? And yet people think that's what he did. It's crazy.
And there's literally no evidence of any of that. None whatsoever. None. And people are more ready to believe that than they are to believe that 400 years of science is right. And that's it annoys me. So I'm not even a fucking history buff, but one of the arguments that I've encountered in real life was that because this vaccine delivery method is new, it should be absolutely, like, it's not been tested long enough, and it's not been this, and it's not been that, and it's new, so it can't be. Like, it's not even based off of all that previous science. And I'm looking at them like, what do you think these people who created it studied? What do you think they studied to get to that point? You fucking ignoramus. What do you think that hundreds of years of science did to those people who created this new vaccine? What do you think it did to them? It created who they were to be able to do that. That's what that information did, you fucking morons. It gets me so angry that people can't just make these small, tiny, insignificant logical leaps. It's the tiniest fucking, you just have to take, you don't even have to move that much. Take a millimeter step forward. Come with us just a tiny, tiny inch. Look, you're not even going to fall. You don't need, your foot's bigger than the hole. It's a tiny little crack in the sidewalk. Just come this way. It's tiny. Mickey, it's so tiny. It's small. It's such a small thing.
How do you not
understand? I want to gouge my fucking eyes out. How do you not understand that these people, these creators of this new vaccine, wouldn't have been able to create this vaccine without that 300 plus 400 years of science behind it?
Yep. And again, this is not the first virus. This is not the first coronavirus. Like, they had examples of what to work on. Right.
And you know what we did during the previous pandemics in this country? We fucking wore masks.
Well, so here's the other thing that's funny to me.
It always worked.
So these people who are going to question how a vaccine could be made so quickly in the span of, like, let's say 6 months, right, compared to, like, you know, well, when we had the Spanish flu outbreak 100 years ago, you know, it took years. Yeah, guess what? We've made
advances in technology. Well, you just told me that people are working on that shit 24/7.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like them questioning, like they'll question how the vaccine was made available so quickly, but they won't question that they can talk into their TV or they can have electric cars or, you know what I mean? Like they don't question any other technology advancements, but somehow this one thing, they can't wrap their head around how the vaccine was basically developed in 6 months.
Yeah. And it, to me, it makes even more sense when you told me that people are literally working on this research 24/7, which is not something I feel like I didn't know. It's just a good thing to point out.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see
it's a very good thing to point out.
Yeah, it's a lot of behind the scenes.
Because it makes perfect sense why they would be working on this 24/7. It's something that affects the entire fucking world. You know,
yep,
I would hope that people are working on this shit 24/7 because it's that important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And not for nothing, but the department, I can't remember exactly which department it was, but one of the budget cuts Trump made in like 2018 or 2019 was cutting the budget of, I don't exactly know if it was like pandemic response, but it was something along those lines that he cut the budget of that group that would be like primarily responsible for that sort of thing. So that's another thing that gets swept under the rug. I'm not saying we wouldn't have had COVID if it wasn't for Trump. Don't mistake
right.
me. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there's a chance that the response could have been quicker had he not cut that budget. But
who was the one who cut that budget?
Trump.
Oh, gee. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean,
because he thought it was, you know, superfluous and unnecessary, which, you know, I can't say that's crazy, but like you said, like we want people to be working on this 24/7 in the event that something like this does happen.
And the reason that they're doing that is precisely what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we're still not completely through the pandemic yet. Like it's not completely done. We still have too many COVID cases. It's died down, but this could have like way too many for what we're supposed to be. And that's a big sign that our health care is kind of garbage too. Big sign.
See, I think I'm not saying that our health care isn't garbage, but I also think it's part of it is just kind of our attitude in general. Like, do you know anybody who wears a mask 24/7?
No.
Right, I don't either.
No,
whereas I feel
I
like in the beginning, we kind of were. And now it's like, well, we don't really need to. So if I'm in the supermarket, I'll put it on. But if I'm outside, I'll leave it off. And that's, you know, just, I think we're kind of in that stage. So I'm not saying for sure that that's what's leading to more cases, but I'm sure that that's a factor. It's kind of like our, you know, lackadaisical attitude towards it at this point. Because for the most part, it's not a death sentence, you know, if you're relatively healthy. Whereas in the beginning, people were dropping like flies. So it's like, all right, we don't know how to avoid this. Whereas now, like I can't remember the last time I heard of somebody I know dying of COVID.
No, I haven't heard of anybody dying of COVID at all recently. And, you know, my family has gotten it. My brother caught it. Him and his boyfriend both had it. And I don't think my sister had it. I know my mom hasn't had it. I don't think my dad's had it. But that's, you know, the older people in my life they managed to keep themselves pretty isolated during that time. So that was good. But I was just more thinking of, I forget what I was thinking. All right, you got to go. So let's end it here.
All right, homie.
All right. It's cool. We didn't even really get to talk about. Okay, yeah, we did. All right. We'll figure that out later.
All right, man. Later.
All right, later.